Hello, and welcome to the first episode of 80 Game Club. I'm your host, Andrew, and joining me today is my longtime friend, David. David, say hello.
Hello, I'm David. I just waved my hand and then realized that there is no point to that.
Yes, this is an audio podcast, no video involved.
Probably for the best.
Probably. A little about myself. I've been a fan of video games for, I want to say, 20 years. That sounds right to me. Started out with Mega Man X, of all things, but didn't really get into video games until I was, like, high school and playing games like Portal and Half-Life. How about you?
I've been playing games as long as I can remember with my my brother and my NES. And, funnily enough, I do remember some of the earliest games I played were Mega Man, but I didn't get really into Mega Man until high school when I discovered the Bob and George comic. But obviously I enjoy games other than Mega Man.
The Mega Man X was my first game, and mostly it was because I remember I got the PC version, which was nowhere near as good as the Super Nintendo version. I found out later. But I got it, and I wanted it because it came with a game controller. And that was just, like, the coolest thing to me was, like, I can actually play a game, like a console game on my computer. And that was the start. And it was, like, one or two games a year after that until I had a job. Mm-hmm. But that takes us into why we're here. This is the inaugural episode of a monthly video game club where David and I and hopefully the listeners can go back and either visit or revisit a popular title and discuss about in depth, regardless of the game's age. Because, believe it or not, when you listen to a lot of those podcasts that are out there right now, it's always the newest game, and you can't keep up with that when you're also living a normal adult life.
And when you have a job that's not reviewing games.
Yeah. And also, just like I said, I only played as a kid one or two games a year, so I missed a lot of games that are considered classics. So, and that's sort of what got this started, is I had never played Super Mario Sunshine for the GameCube. A large part of that is because I never owned a GameCube. What's your history with Super Mario Sunshine, David?
I did play it on the GameCube a long time ago, and I actually was thinking about it before you mentioned it, because I saw some of it at either AGDQ or SDQ or SGDQ, whichever one of those that they were playing Super Mario Sunshine, and that was pretty neat. And as usual, when I watch speedruns, that made me want to go back and play the game myself, but didn't have time at the time.
Yeah, the summer game's done quick. I have missed every single one of those. I hear fantastic stories, and I've watched a couple of the, like, standout moments, but I miss the regular streams every year.
Every time I hear about it when it starts, and I go, oh, that's fantastic. Look at this whole list of games that are great, and I want to see all the secrets of these games, and then I watch maybe half an hour out of the week between doing other things.
Mm-hmm. Super Mario Sunshine came out in 2002 for the GameCube and is the sequel to Super Mario 64, a game that I didn't actually get around to playing until the Nintendo DS version, which I believe came out after. It came out after Sunshine, so the 3D Mario games I have played very inconsistently, it seems. How about you?
Yeah, I missed the Super Nintendo. It was just sort of a time where we never like had a bunch of money to buy a new console, and we had a ton of old NES games as well. But other than that, each Nintendo console, I've pretty much either my family bought it or later I bought it. And so I've been keeping up with the Mario games as they come out. And my friends had a Super Nintendo that I would either play or borrow at the time.
At that time, I didn't really have friends who had consoles. So yeah, I had missed out on a bunch of the pretty much any Mario game until I got a Wii. I did love and enjoy Galaxy and Galaxy 2, and I've played the Wii U Super Mario World, which is a true departure for the series, as far as the 3D games. I sort of realized going back to this one that
Yeah, it's interesting that it kind of follows the 2D game design in a weird way that, I mean, it is in 3D, but it's kind of on specific lines, so they can have some precision that you can't do when you have full analog control on the other 3D Mario games, and I think that's pretty interesting.
So, yeah, the comparison, like the playing Galaxy, that's very much in line with the other 3D Marios of 64 Sunshine than Galaxy, of going into a world multiple times, seeing it change, and going after the different stars in each galaxy or world or whatever they call it in that particular game, painting in 64. In Galaxy 2, they still have that going back into the same world, but it's in that line progression that you're sort of used to from the 2D Mario games.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then when you go to the 3D land and world, it's just full on back to that line, and each world is you're collecting the coins or stars, but it does, the worlds themselves don't change at that point anymore. So going back to Sunshine
Yeah.
was sort of like, oh wow, I actually kind of had forgotten they do this, where you revisit that same world multiple times and you see it sort of change over time. Like you beat that boss and then you
Yeah.
go back and you beat a different form of that boss, or you see the bosses run away, or like that was kind of cool, and I kind of missed that from the later Mario games, or the
And
newer
that was
ones, I
one thing
guess.
that Yeah, that was one thing that I think is really neat about Super Mario Sunshine, even compared to 64 or the Galaxy games, is it's not just that you revisit levels, but there's a real sense of place. Because in Super Mario 64, you have this hub world, but each of the worlds that you go to is its little self-contained painting. And in Super Mario Galaxy, of course, everything's just sort of isolated from each other in space. But with Super Mario Sunshine, you have a map of where everything is, and you can, I think it's really neat that you can see the other places from the levels. Like in the very start of the first level, the was it Bianca Hills? Maybe the second or third time I went there, I thought, oh wait, maybe there's something behind me. It always starts me looking in this direction. And there was nothing to do immediately behind me, but there was a sign that pointed out, oh, here are future levels that you'll be able to visit, and you can see them in the distance off of this cliff.
We kind of already jumped into talking about Sunshine, and I didn't even like, I wanted to give a little synopsis of the game, and so like reading off the back of the box, the game describes that it's dark days on Isle Delfino. When Mario arrives on tropical Isle Delfino, the once pristine island is polluted, and the and plastered with graffiti. Even worse, he's being blamed for the mess. Now, instead of enjoying a relaxing vacation, Mario has to clean up the place and track down the real culprit. And that really describes the one of the uniquest things with Sunshine is that you spend a lot of the game cleaning up paint, I guess you would call it. I think slime would be a more accurate term for how the consistency mm-hmm. is, but how did that come across when you first played it, like when the game came out? I mean, the game's considered a classic, so I already knew just from popular media a lot of this, but like mm-hmm. when it came out, what was that sort of response to this change in gameplay style?
It's funny. It's one. There are a lot of games like this that I remember, like this in the Legend of Zelda series, that at the time, the general response was, this is so weird. Why did they do this? This is a terrible idea. And then, you know, once you play it, it's a good idea. It sort of, the fact that you are sort of cleaning up the stuff around you it's not the entire game, but it ties into the flood, you know, water pump that they give you, which is just an extension of your movement mostly, which is what Mario is about. So it kind of, once you start playing it and running around, it, you know, it makes sense. So it was weird in concept, but actually not that weird to play.
I actually loved the addition of flood, not so much the aiming the water nozzle to clean up stuff or spray enemies, but the hover mechanic that it added made mm-hmm. Platforming more interesting, and also in some ways easier in a lot of cases where, oh, I almost missed this jump, but I can hover for that second and correct the course. But also then just the rocket can change how you, like your verticality and the, mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was called, but the propeller that allows
turbo.
You to run really fast. Like those are like interesting ways to mess with the mechanics of a 3D platformer. I also thought
it was also, go ahead. I thought it was kind of interesting how all of the nozzles are kind of, you know, extras on top of Mario's abilities, but by the time you get the rocket or the turbo nozzle, you're so used to the hover that it's a real trade-off. All of a sudden you
That's
have to
true.
Give up something that you've gotten used to get a different power.
That is very true. Like, when it first became an option, I had really wished I could have both the hover and the rocket so that I could get really high mm-hmm. and then hover around, but it was, nope, either or.
Yeah, and there were some areas where I really wanted to get up high, and then once I got there, I wanted the hover nozzle so that I could avoid falling back down.
Yeah.
Just jumping from platform to platform.
I remember, like, the earliest memory I have of this game was actually playing a demo of it in a Toys R Us around the time that it came out. And funny enough, the demo level they chose to use was the very first secret level in which the flood device is removed from the game. I always thought that was kind of an interesting way to try and sell this game, in that you spend most of your time with this device hovering around, and instead they decided to showcase it, at this Toys R Us at least, with the sudden death platforming that the rest of the game never even uses as a mechanic. It's just those secret levels.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if that's because of that sort of initial reaction I was talking about, where they, you know, kids mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. me and probably marketers that, you know, assumed kids would react this way, just thought, this is totally weird. Why am I going to be, you know, cleaning up garbage playing as Mario? So they, you know, tried to sell it as something familiar instead of highlighting what's new about it.
The other thing that this game introduced is Bowser Jr., an enemy that, again, I had already known was introduced in this game, but like, how did that reveal go when you were first playing this game?
You know, I don't even remember specifically, but it was definitely it was just kind of weird, partly because I had played the, you know, the old NES games, and one I remember playing a lot was a favorite was Super Mario Brothers 3, where they had the Koopalings. So I don't really remember how how I felt about the reveal that Shadow Mario was baby Bowser, but I remember being confused. Like, doesn't he have like 8 kids already?
Is it baby Bowser or Bowser Jr.?
Bowser Jr. Oh, you're right, Bowser Jr. I was confusing him with the you know, baby version of Bowser from Yoshi's Story.
Oh. But
or
yeah, and
Yoshi's
also
Island, one of those.
Another fun tie-in with this game is that all of the inventions, the flood and the paintbrush that is being used to spread all of this paint, are both invented by Professor E. Gadd, who was first seen in the Luigi's Mansion, which was a launch title for the GameCube. So that was kind of neat seeing that sort of reference continue, even if Luigi did not make an appearance himself, at least to my knowledge. I never saw him.
Yeah, that was something that I also remember just being a little confused about, because, well, for one thing, it wasn't explained why he, you know, gave out his inventions, and then I probably just forgot about it. But playing this again, I realized that it almost seems like it was setting up a, you know, overarching story of this guy handing out, you know, weird inventions and causing trouble, but also giving the tools to fix trouble. And then
yeah,
the end kind of like implied that Il Pientissimo was going to pick up the brush or something, and then that just sort of never went anywhere. And I guess E-Gad is, you know, not part of any overarching story. He's just a plot device for when they want to add some weird thing to Mario games.
I don't even think he's been used. Well, there was the second Luigi's Mansion game, but otherwise, I don't think he's been used since Sunshine.
No, one of the Mario and Luigi games, he showed up as an NPC.
Oh, really?
He wasn't part of the story.
But
yeah. They haven't, like, used him as that plot device since then.
I know this is backtracking, but one of the mechanics that I didn't even realize the flood enabled until pretty late in the game was, and an NPC, I believe, told me about it, was when you're hanging on a rope, you can spray on the nozzle to get Mario spinning really fast and then do a giant jump off of it. And that was pretty cool,
yeah,
too. That was something like, for some reason, made me think of Sonic, where that sort of like, because I know the 3D Sonics use that same sort of thing of getting him to spin and then launching him off, but it was
kind of fun
to have that
used
in a
that
Mario game.
Once or twice, but that was just, yeah, there's a lot in Mario Sunshine that was just fun to run around and move and play with, which is always a great sign for a platforming game.
Yeah,
like
especially
just the ropes themselves, it's just fun to hop on one and like bounce around and bounce over to another rope and then like you said, launch yourself off.
This is the sequel to Mario 64, and it says so much has changed between 64 and this, and yet is also the same. The health bar is the same. Instead of being able to punch, you can pick up, you can do a grab now. But otherwise, it is very much a sequel to 64, but the graphics are vastly improved. The platforming is improved. You get to ride Yoshi this time, whereas Yoshi only makes this like super small cameo in the original 64 version. There's like this is hard to believe that Mario 64 became Sunshine. But just that leap is so massive, but just impressive that they included so much. And the physics, the water, I was amazed with
Oh,
the
yeah.
just how the water looked, how the water reacted to you, or how you could manipulate it as far as just the spraying and movement. Very impressive for a just that sort of jump. Anything you want to mention as far as being impressed by this game, even going back to it?
Yeah, I think it's mostly just like the freedom of movement and how smooth and fun it was. It was is just really impressive, even now. The talking about the water though reminds me. I saw an interview, or just a quote from an interview about the original Sonic Adventure that they created Chaos as a water monster because they wanted to create a character that could not have been rendered with the previous hardware. And I realized that's pro that was probably the same thing with that, you know,
That makes
slimy, goopy
sense.
paint everywhere and the water mechanics.
That makes sense. That actually, that's a good reasoning behind this, showing off, hey, this is something new we couldn't do before. Let's feature it. Huh. So, talking more about the game. Mario is cleaning up the mess left behind by Shadow Mario, who, as we know, turns out to be Bowser Jr., who I don't know why he the brush is able to turn him into that disguise, but I think that happens in every Mario game at some point. Someone is an imposter of Mario.
Well, I mean it's magic paint that I think you know an illusion is sort of in that wheelhouse somehow. He did have the scarf that he painted the mustache on, and it seemed
Yes.
like that was some kind of, you know, when he put that on, he looked exact, well, not exactly, he looked the same shape as Mario, and when he took it off, it wore off, but there was no other explanation.
No.
It actually, as a mechanical device, that did kind of make sense though, because then they could give you those levels where, you know, he's running around and you have to chase him, and he has the going back. He kind of has the same capabilities as you, but without the flood, so
Correct.
that gives you an advantage.
Those were actually some of my favorite. Like, I'm really glad they decided to go with those Chase Shadow Mario levels. I thought those were always fun, and it was also a great way to then unlock stuff in that he's carrying that new expansion to Flood, or he's carrying Starshine. Not a Starshine.
Shine Sprite.
Shine Sprite. They are essentially stars. Oh,
Yes.
that's one of the things that really confused me about this game. Why in the world does the island become shadowed in daylight? Like, is there a curse on this island?
So I was confused about that until the very end when I went back in after I. You know, after I beat it, and the little bulletin at the bottom of the screen scrolled across, and it said, "The haze over the island is starting to lift," and you know, probably because our shines have been returned. So I assume it was just supposed to be cloudy, but it didn't look cloudy. I don't know.
It was always kind of weird, kind of like you had mentioned earlier, the entire island is connected. You can see, for example, the amusement park that is on the tail of the island. The island is shaped like a dolphin. I always thought that was kind of neat. But in the hub world, like, there's this very distinct shadow over the rest of the island, outside the hub. But then you get into the cannon, you fire off to the amusement park. Where, I mean, just moments ago you saw it in shadow, but now that you're there, everything's sunshine. And it's like, what is this shadow that is so ill-defined just around the hub world?
Well, maybe it only looked like shadow because there was fog in the way. I don't know.
That I just all I can think of is there's some sort of curse on this island, and that's why they need the shine sprites. For the most part, I thoroughly enjoyed this game, and I really think that they did a couple of smart things with providing the tutorials along the way of when you first pick up Flood, it goes through and it's very like easy, like there's nothing coming at you. You have your time to adjust and get used to the using the Flood. But the rest of the things, like when you finally unlock Yoshi, it explains that you can eat fruit, but it does not explain anything beyond that. At least the little notifications never came up for me to explain the other features of Yoshi. And that was the start of the getting kind of annoyed with this game, was actually the way I like to play these games is to get that first world fully unlocked and then move on to the second world, get all of the starters there, move on to the third world. And so I'm in that Rico Harbor pretty early on in the game, and I make it all the way to the final of the episodes, and it's called like Yoshi's in the name of the episode. So I figure, oh cool, this is when I finally unlock Yoshi. And I start the level up, go in there, and can't like it focuses on the fruit jars, and then it pans over and shows where the star is. It doesn't show where Yoshi is, so I spend a good amount of time searching this place, can't find Yoshi. I get one of the rocket nozzles and I blast my way up to the star. Can't get to it. There's some sort of like sandworm thing blocking the cage, and I
I always thought it
eventually
looked
just
like cheese for some reason.
cheese.
I don't
Can't
know
get
why.
to it. And that really kind of annoyed me in that if there was a requirement for a level, I like they said Yoshi's Fruit Adventure or something like that for the level name. So there's at least the key of you need Yoshi, but there's nothing in the game telling me that Yoshi won't appear until I've unlocked him elsewhere. I just had to give up and come back to it later, and that kind of irked me. Did you go back and try that level?
So I didn't get that far until after I unlocked Yoshi because I didn't play it in the same order, but I did have a similar frustration with the nozzles, because in the early levels you'll see
Yes,
the
they're
partially
holograms.
transparent version that's a hologram,
Yeah.
and it was just totally unclear to me. Like, I guess I was kind of expecting it to be like Mario 64, when you unlock the blocks and everyone in the entire game turns on. But in Sunshine, first of all, I explored around one of that Bianco Hills where I first saw them. I explored around long enough until I found one of the boxes, and even though I hadn't unlocked it in the overworld, I thought, oh, okay, maybe just by finding this one, I've unlocked it everywhere, because it turned on in the rest of the level. And then I went back to the overworld, and it was still a hologram. And so I thought, well, that's weird. And I kept playing, and later I did unlock it in the overworld, and I thought, okay, good, I have the rocket nozzle. I recovered it from Shadow Mario. Now I can use it everywhere, but I still couldn't.
Yeah. After beating the game, I went back and I was like, I know I can get this star now. But yeah, exploring those earlier levels, I've unlocked everything in the hub world. I've beaten the game, but for some reason, and un never to find the those some of those boxes just never materialize, and I don't know why. Like maybe you need to get to a
Yeah,
certain
I
shine
actually,
count.
yeah, I looked at. I was so frustrated with the Rico Harbor, looking for the turbo nozzle that I just looked it up, and the answer I found was, like, even though the hologram boxes are in almost every shine level, you can't actually unlock them until the last one, until shine number 8.
Oh, really? Well, I know that's not 100% true, because I know in Rico Harbor there's one level that you need the rockets to get up to where the star is. And also I think there's a secret level in the Rico
Oh,
which requires
sorry,
you to use the rocket, but
not the rocket, the turbo nozzle, the one that makes you run over
to run
water.
fast. You need those to get
Yeah.
a lot of the blue coins. A lot of the blue coins require that turbo nozzle. Actually,
Yeah, that was
Rico
why I was
Harbor.
trying to get it.
Yeah. Rico Harbor was actually one of the more frustrating levels for me, I guess, 'cause I came back after unlocking Yoshi in the amusement park world. I went back to Rico Harbor because I was determined to beat this final Yoshi level. I was like, I have Yoshi now. I'm going to do it. So and this is the very first time I'm trying to do this with Yoshi. So this is when I discover, oh, I need a particular fruit to unlock him. Well, I guess there's these fruit jars. How do I get fruit to come out of the fruit jars? And so a lot of this game, just whenever you come up to a problem, you basically have to go down the list of what your interactions are. So your interactions are you spray it with water. Does that do anything? No. Okay, move on to the next one. Jump on it. Does that do anything? No. Ground pound it. So it's just like you go through the possible interactions. There's grab. That's one of the possible interactions. But yeah, you just go through that list every single time you come up with something that's not defined for you. It's one of these interactions. Just try them and figure it out. So eventually get the fruit to come out. And wouldn't you know it, it's random fruit each time. And the fruit that he wants, this Rico level Yoshi, is the one fruit that you can't grab and pick up. It's the one that Mario, for whatever reason, decides to kick. And so the
The
first time I
durian.
go down there to grab it, after pounding it multiple times to get the right fruit to finally come out, I go down there to grab it, and Mario kicks it into the water, and I have to start the thing all over again. Several tries later, finally get the right fruit, figure out that it's better to just spray the fruit with water to guide it over to Yoshi, get onto Yoshi, and at this point, I can't figure out how to get Yoshi over to the platforms. I forget. Did you actually play this level or not?
So that was a level that I started and I think yeah, it took me a few tries to get the fruit over to Yoshi, and then I actually well, I'll cut to the chase of the long story, which is that I had several setbacks and got as close as getting Yoshi onto the platforms, but I never actually made it and gave up in disgust.
So, something that I got really determined on this, and like I said, as far as interactions go, you only have a couple. And with Yoshi, you have a juice spray instead of a water spray, you have a juice spray. And it turned out that if you use Yoshi's juice spray to spray the fish, that the fish then turn into platforms. So I figured out that much. And then you can jump onto the platform, and the platform, for whatever reason, then moves over to where the solid platforms are. The fish platforms you transform move over to the solid platforms. You can jump off, and then there's more fish over there that you can turn into platforms. But there's the final platform where the shine is a little bit taller than the rest. And no matter how
Yes.
you do it, you can't get up there. And there's no explanation of what you're doing wrong. You just can't get up there. I had at this point spent so much time getting the right fruit over to Yoshi, getting Yoshi over there, and then dying, and then you're in the water and you have to swim all the way back over, get the fruit again, and there's just so much time that I just said, screw it, looked it up. It turned out that there is a fruit tree to the left of those platforms. And you are supposed to, once you get over there, jump Yoshi over to the fruit tree, grab one of those fruit, because it changes Yoshi's color, and then you can spray those fish, and instead of going horizontal, the platforms will go vertical. No explanation of this at all, and anywhere in the game, to my knowledge, but that's the solution. And that was one of those moments where I just said, I hate you, Nintendo. Like that was evil. You never explained that the whole changing colors thing. You never even explained the fish turning into platforms. That was something that I had to figure out on my own. How was I then supposed to know that there was this tree hidden over there that I was then supposed to change into to do the rest of the puzzle?
I think that's the only place in the entire game where you have this, these fish that you can spray to turn into platforms, and there's like so there's I had no idea. There's absolutely no precedent for the idea that, oh, different colors of Yoshi will have different platforms.
I know, right? Oh, that I was ready to call this game bizarre, but thankfully that was that was the only instance that just everything sort of was just wrong with that one particular level.
Well, I'll tell you that the final part of my long journey where I just totally gave up was when I was on one of the lower platforms looking up, and I had figured out that I couldn't quite jump onto one of the fish platforms, then jump from that onto the higher one. So I was on one of the lower platforms trying to spray the juice high enough to just hit the barrier and destroy it
Oh,
so that I could then hop up with a rocket.
good idea.
And well, it seemed like a good idea, but I couldn't quite hit it. And I did something which I had done multiple times with Mario and ended up doing the same thing with Yoshi, which is going into the first person perspective, spraying water, and it's not quite high enough, so I try to hit the jump button to jump and spray, forgetting that when you do that, Mario does a backflip.
Oh.
Except when you're on Yoshi, he backflips off of Yoshi, so I just backflipped into the ocean, with Yoshi still up there.
Awesome.
Then I swam back over to the little, the platform under the helipad where there's a rocket nozzle. Got it, swam back, rocketed up to the platforms, and started heading back toward Yoshi when he ran out of juice and dissolved, and that was when I gave up.
I actually did not enjoy my Yoshi moments in Sunshine. Like the initial joy of yes, I finally get to ride Yoshi was like a lot of fun, but then I realized that every time I would then have to leave him, I would go back to just the regular nozzle and hover. But I would always like at that point in the game, I would prefer using the rocket for that extra verticality. And so I hated using Yoshi's because it meant that I'd have to go back to using a hover. And there were a couple of puzzles that I just really disliked because of that.
Yeah, it makes sense because you kind of have a form of hovering with Yoshi, so whenever you want to get off of him, it's usually somewhere that you need to use something besides the hover anyway.
The other part of this game that almost had me give up, were I got to about 30 some stars, and the two levels I was bouncing between, both of them, I hit the secret levels on. And
Oh.
the secret levels, like I said earlier, instant death. If you screw up the platforming, it is almost guaranteed to be an instant death. And some of those, some of those secret levels are just evil. The one in particular that I was having problems with was one of the beaches, but the one where you look into the sun and then it's the seashell secret. One,
the Noki Bay.
Yes, the bay. That one required you to do a lot of wall kicks, wall jumps, which I was never that great at the platforming. I relied heavily on the hover mechanic. So when I hit those levels, it was just start out, get as far as that, like, first life, one up or whatever, and then have to do a complicated jump, miss, die, have to start again. Did these levels pose a problem to you either now or when you first played this game, as a child?
There were a lot of them that I just had to replay over and over and over, but I think I just, well, maybe I didn't have to play them as many times as you, or I just, you know, had more tolerance for dying over and over. There's at least one, I don't remember which level it was in, but it was the one where you get to the end and there's like a bunch of boxes in a rectangle and you have to go around the rectangle, and it's at the end of a long level, and I ended up dying in that last part, and that was enough that I just quit and went to a different level. But other than that, they all took me many attempts, but I didn't get too frustrated.
There were a couple of those secret levels that I just got fed up with after spending half an hour on them and just had to put the controller down and do an entirely different game for a while because the rotating blocks. Oh, there was one where you have to get onto a block that just rolls forward, and half the time, Mario would go into his sliding motion, his just like, oop, I slipped and I know I'm sliding, because it would get to that certain point. Or it's because, like, I'm adjusting him, and if you go in the opposite direction, Mario will just, like, overcorrect whenever you do that. And, I was having a terrible time with several of those levels where you had to stay on the rotating block. And then it just seemed like even Nintendo knew that these levels were stupid when I got to the final one in the underneath the village, where it's literally littered with one-ups as you get into this secret area. Like, as you're finding your way to the secret area where the Delfino people throw you, the Chucksters.
Oh yeah.
There's literally like five one-ups just laying at the entrance of this secret area. They know that you are going to die often in this secret level, and that is terrible game design. I am sorry, but that is the worst. And to my knowledge,
that was a terrible level, honestly.
And to my knowledge, all of those secret levels are mandatory to make it to the end of the game.
Yes.
So I really wonder how many people, either I'm a special case in that I just had a really beyond difficult time with these, or I'm sure there's a lot of people who never made it to the end of this game. I feel like there's a lot of people who never made it to the end of this game.
I honestly would not be surprised if that's true.
Do you have any final thoughts, or like any particularly frustrating or like noteworthy experiences with this game?
one of the levels that struck with me, like from the first time I played it, was just so sort of weird and tense, was the manta ray. And I thought it was
Oh,
really interesting, but
yeah.
it also went on way too long, because
The
by the end
asteroids
you're just,
boss.
yeah. It's like it was a neat idea, but it also goes on so long that you just get tired of chasing these little things around.
So my strategy on that was to just hole myself up into a corner near the ocean where I could refill my water when needed. But just basically back and forth spraying. And at some point it then decided, oh, you've angered it or something, and now they all come swarming at me at the last like I don't know how much of a percent, but I never had that feel like I had to chase after them. It was always a, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, if one of these guys touch me, I'm going to die because I've run out of health and I can't go into the swarm to find more health, more coins. Because it's just so crazy dangerous with how just every time they split, it's like into four, and one of those four is almost always coming directly at you. But it was a
Oh
fun
yeah, I did a
boss.
lot more like running back and forth in the levels and running, and it, like whenever there's a lot of the goop, if you spray it, then you'll probably get a coin. So
That's true.
I was on the run a few times, but usually not terribly worried about health. Plus, you could actually run under the hut and it would be fine because they fly over the hut roof.
Oh. Oh, I didn't even explore that level enough to discover that. But yeah, I did forget that as those ray shadows go around, they leave behind that trail of the electric paint, which meant
Yes.
that you couldn't even jump over them to get to the other side. That side is now dangerous to you. So yeah, like I said, I stuck with that like one corner where everything was clean around me and I just had to survive. That was my strategy for that level. My favorite boss fight in this game, the one that just not only did I feel like the mechanics were pretty fun, but also just the idea of it, was the eel where you had to clean the teeth of gingivitis or whatever. That I
Yeah,
just
that was
that
cool.
was such a cute idea, and I thought it was executed pretty well. I had a lot of fun with that boss fight, and I just that one stuck out to me as my favorite boss battle.
Think it's kind of interesting that for a game that's all about spraying water and takes place on the beach, or various beach areas, it actually had very little of that, like underwater swimming. It was pretty much just
Yeah,
that
yeah.
level and the one before it.
Well, like that was it wasn't even really underwater swimming. It was they gave you a scuba gear and your I mean, it felt more like you were falling most of the time, but yeah, that was I thought a pretty cool twist, and it came at like the right time as far as just progression of the game of I've gotten really good at the platform, not good obviously, but I've gotten decent enough at the platforming and pretty I know how to do everything, but then here's a twist of now we're going to throw you into water environments where you can do these crazy jumps and like you have to explore in a true like 3D environment of trying to find or trying to avoid what's coming around.
And yeah, another thing I wanted to talk about is just the kind of structure of the game. Like you were saying, the secret levels were mandatory because the way it's structured is that in every level, the seventh is Shadow Mario Chase, and you have to, instead of having a set number of stars to get, like in Mario 64, to unlock the final level, you just have to get to the Shadow Mario Chase and beat that in each level. And what that means is that You can unlock things more quickly by getting, hidden shines in the overworld and blue coins, but for the most part, you just had to beat the main episodes, and the majority of those are mandatory, and
Yeah.
that was kind of interesting. So it's like you couldn't, in Mario 64, if you just hated one level, you could probably avoid most of it, but you couldn't do that in Sunshine.
Did you spend the time to get any of the 100 coin star or shine or the I did find one of the true secret shines in this game. Did you?
I didn't even. I probably should have, since that was in Mario 64. I didn't. Oh no, wait, that's right. One time I did get close to 100 coins, and I wasn't sure if it would give me a shine, but I decided to try it, and I didn't quite make it in the park. And that was slightly frustrating, because I got to like 95, and I couldn't find any more coins. But
I felt like the coins were a
no, I
little
never
bit
did.
more scarce than in 64, but.
Yeah, well, part of it was also that in that level you had to get half of them in one area and then move on to the other area, and you couldn't go back.
There's a couple of those, but yeah, I never got any of the 100 coin shines, but I did get several of the blue coins. I actually thought a lot of the blue coins were well done.
Yeah.
And I found only the one of the, I guess I looked it up afterwards. There's two shine secret shines in each world, or
Oh.
each zone. And the only one I found on my own was on the beach. Where you spray the water on those plants that then like explode. One of them explodes and goes down into the earth instead of up. And in there, I found that spraying the wall with water revealed a star that I collected. That was the only one that I was able to find. But
Huh,
I knew
no, I
there was
didn't find
one
any of
in there,
those.
but I had actually
I think.
thought. The reason I had been spending so much time in that area was I thought that there's one of those what you called cheese, but there was one of those in the level, and I thought for sure that that's where the secret star would be hidden, but I couldn't find Yoshi, and so I started thinking maybe Yoshi's hidden somewhere. And so I was just spraying water everywhere, and eventually I found that one.
Yeah, I think I remember that plant, and it just like drops down a flight of stairs, and
Yes.
then I went, "Oh, there's two coins here. Cool. That's what this is for, to give me two coins."
Yeah. Oh, that was also a fantastic boss battle. The giant worm. I thought that was a
Yes.
particularly good boss battle.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
So yeah, like I had some problems with this game, but I did really enjoy it, and I can see why it's considered a classic. Definitely a fantastic Mario game, even if it does have a couple of faults.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It was definitely one of my favorite of the GameCube era, and there were a lot of good games there.
So I think unless there's anything else you want to say about Super Mario Sunshine, that should wrap this up.
Let me see. I did take some notes. Oh yeah, the whole like cliffs and secret passages area in Noki Bay, and finding all the blue coins there was really neat and fun. There's just like a whole wall that,
Yeah.
as far as I could tell, or maybe it was a, I didn't do the eighth sprite, which I think was red coins, but at least before that, it didn't seem like there was any shine sprite attached to it, I just sort of wandered off path and found a wall with all of these secret passages when you sprayed it, and spent half an hour just completely exploring that.
If there was at one level where I think you could get the 100 coins pretty easily, it would be in that Noki Bay. I think there were just so many hidden coins, like you said, in the walls or in that if you take the waterfall down, there's so many coins to collect that if I wanted to
Oh
get
yeah,
that
that too.
shine, that would be where I go. Yeah, I remember. There's one where you're supposed to go after the treasure. That one like is all about exploring those little secret passages along the walls. And I did get distracted by that for a while, collecting coins.
Yeah, I think I actually went off on that wall full of hidden passages on the first. So it was kind of funny when I got to the sprite that was all about searching those passages. I went, oh, well, I know nothing over there goes anywhere. I know that this side I didn't seemed like it was gonna go anywhere. I mean, it seemed like it was gonna go somewhere, but it didn't. So that must be where it is. Just had already explored that region before they told me to.
Like I said before, it's a really good game. Any of you listening and didn't feel like we spoiled it too much, I don't even think we can spoil this game. It's all about the enjoyment of playing it yourself that you'll have a good time, and I would recommend checking it out.
Oh yeah, like I said, just running in circles, jumping from place to place is super fun. There's really not much to be spoiled because it's just the act of playing it is where the fun is.
All right, so David, that wraps up our time with Super Mario Sunshine. Next month, the planned date is September 24th. We will be talking about our next game of Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, a game that I've had some trouble with in the past, but hopefully this will give me the excuse to actually get around to learning how to do the motion controls for that.
And I have played it before and beaten it, but I've been wanting to replay it again since I replayed Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess a couple months ago, and so then Skyward Sword was kind of the next in that line.
So, yeah, to you listeners, please feel free to join us on our journey through Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword or playing through Super Mario Sunshine and telling us what you think of that. You can contact us by sending emails at adgamepodcast@gmail.com. And my name again is Andrew, and I am joined by.
David.
And this has been AD Game Club. See you next month.
Super Mario Sunshine!